I want to thank you so much for joining with us this morning, getting up. And I don't know if you've even looked outside. I should maybe not encourage you to do that if you just got out of bed and are joining us live this morning to all the snow that's out there. I wonder if we were actually open this morning, how many would actually come and make it? It would actually shovel their driveway and make it to the church. I thought that would be a good sense of like who's a true northern individual who could shovel their way out. As we finished up 2021, I wanted to share a couple slides with you about how we did financially. So the first one's going to look at just the church as a whole. So we look at the idea that there's about $31,000 that we budget every month just to operate the church. And you guys gave almost $53,000. So that's a huge increase. And then if you look at the year-to-date overall budget of $375,000, you guys actually gave $409,000. So that's wonderful. So thank you so much for doing that, as well as just the overall operations of our church. We love to be generous, right? We were able to give money to the flood victims down south. We're able to give to missionaries as well. So let's look at that slide. The first one shows you of it's about $1,500 every month we give away to our missionaries. And you guys gave $4,655. So that's almost three times as much that we needed to budget for. So if we look at the year to date as well, the whole year is $18,000 we give to our missionaries. And you guys gave year to date $20,000, just over $20,000. So we brought in over $430,000 to operate the church and to be generous and be able to do ministry. So thank you so much for doing that. Think about this for a second. In 2020, we were open for 7 months. Last year, 2021, we were only open for 5 months. Some churches aren't even able to pay their bills. Some churches have cut off their missionaries. Some churches are not able to be generous anymore. And oh, thank God for you guys. So I praise you. I'm serious. Like, we're just so in awe of what God is doing here and through our church. So bless you guys. Thank you again for being so generous. I want to turn now to the Word of God. And let's open this up. We're going to look into the book of Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 6, there's a story in there about what we do when we feel a spirit of heaviness, when there's heaviness on us. Now, most of you know this by now, but I was diagnosed last year with an opportunity with my thyroid. And there was times when I was really not super well. I was pretty sick. And, you know, you get those sleepless nights. You can't sleep because you're not feeling well. Your mind kind of does funny things when you're really tired. Kind of wanders. And I was thinking, oh, man. I hate to say this out loud, but I said, maybe I'm dying. I just was feeling so bad. Certain things were going through my mind about like, well, good thing I have life insurance for my family if things don't turn out super well here. So again, your mind begins to wander. And I think it's an opportunity for the devil to really speak into you and try and confuse you and give you the spirit of heaviness. And we would read this in Ephesians. And so, again, the devil's trying to distract us and get us off our game and totally mess our lives up and completely confuse us of the spirit of heaviness. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, it says this, "Put on the full armor of God so that you may take a stand against the devil's schemes or against the devil's confusion or against the devil's spirit of heaviness." We'll look at in just a moment. The devil's up to something and he wants to take you out. And when we're isolated like this and when we're separated like this, he really uses this opportunity to do that. So when we start the new year off, we want to start the new year off with the right spirit, the spirit of God inside of us, not a spirit of fear and worry and concern or heaviness like I was feeling. Let me show you the story or share the story with you. And I've got a video in just a second. So last year, it's the summertime. We're out in the ocean and we're fishing away. And you know, when you've got your line down at a million thousand feet, you know, and you're thinking like, and then you get a little fish on. You're like, oh, I got to drag this thing all the way up to get this fish off because you got to get it off to get the right fish. So you drag this thing up and all of a sudden something grabs onto that little fish, right? Ooh, and takes it for a run. And you realize, oh, there's something on here now, right? And so drag this thing up and there's this a giant lingcod on this fish. And I'm thinking, whoa. And this lingcod is relentless. It won't let go. It's like, I've got to hold this fish. I'm not going to give up. So we gaff the lingcod, get it in the boat. And then we've got this mangled little fish. And we're like, sorry, little buddy, you had a bad day, right? Throw it into the ocean. And then here's what happens. So here we go with the video. So you can see this poor little fish was attacked by the lingcod, And then as well, an eagle comes by and nabs it and goes off. Like, that's a bad day for that little fish. You know, he's just enjoying his life. And all of a sudden, bang, he's attacked by a lingcod. And bang, he's attacked by a flying eagle. So that was kind of cool to see. But the enemy is the same way when it comes to us. He's just relentless. And he'll get a hold of you and he won't let go. It'd be the same way when we see pictures of alligators getting a hold of animals. And, you know, they're just getting just a sip of water, right? And the alligator, bang, or the crocodile grabs it, takes it underwater, starts doing barrel rolls. It's relentless until it gets what it wants, until it really kills the prey. And in the same way, when it says a lion goes around roaring, it goes around, it wants to attack something, it wants to get a hold and take a bite out of something. The devil's the same way. It's a scheme that he uses where he wants to get a claw into us, maybe a hook into us, or get his teeth into us. He doesn't want to let go when he gets a hold. So the devil uses so many schemes to get a hold of us. So when he does, we feel this spirit of heaviness. We feel like there's something kind of, we're kind of dragging something along with us. And let me show it to you in Isaiah. So in Isaiah chapter 61, we'll see the spirit of heaviness here. Verse 3, it says, "And provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, an oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair or a spirit of heaviness. They'll be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." One way that we overcome the spirit of heaviness is to really get our eyes off of ourselves. I mean, there's so much going on. I don't know if you felt like that poor little fish. It just felt like something was on you and then you got free for a little bit and something else was on you. Like just constant relentlessness of trying to put the spirit of heaviness on us. And we can remind ourselves what God has done for us. Listen to the words here as we read it. There's the good and then there's the evil. There's God's plan and then there's the devil's plan here. We see that. We see a crown of beauty. That's from the Lord instead of ashes. And we see here an oil of gladness. Oh, thank you, Jesus, instead of mourning. And we see the same thing, a garment of praise. Oh, we're going to praise God instead of the spirit of despair or a spirit of heaviness. A garment of praise means this in that terminology there when he wrote it. It means to literally be wrapped in praise. It's almost like protection, a wall of protection around us because we're in this garment of praise so that when the devil's schemes come at us, we're actually protected because we've got this garment of praise on. Isn't that just a wonderful thought? So as we worship and as we lift up the name of God, we're actually protecting ourselves as we do that, having the spirit of praise upon us. So what is the spirit of heaviness? It's not a spirit from God. It's not talking about, sometimes we see spirit in the Bible, we think maybe it's the Holy Spirit or God's spirit. Well, this is definitely not from God. This is in spite of, right? Remember, a crown of beauty instead of this other thing, right? We're talking about the other thing, that spirit of heaviness. It's a demonic spirit. And heaviness, you know, you can sense that sometimes, don't you, in life, when you walk around and you go to a place or a building or there's this environment or there's a situation, you're like, whoa, it just feels heavy. You know, you can't sense it, you can't see anything, but you just, whoa, it just feels heavy. So a spirit of heaviness, it dims our vision. You know, we lose direction. It robs us of our hope. It brings this heavy, oppressive feeling, which really quenches our faith. It can be like a cloud hanging over a place. It causes us to isolate. It steals our love. It makes us feel alone, like this. We're the only one going through this, the spirit of heaviness. Such a confusing spirit that the devil, it's a scheme that he tries to use and put on us. And I want to start the new year off on the right foot so that we know what this year can look like, that we're God's children. That we're men and women of God, and God has a spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of us. And we don't need to accept a spirit of negativity, a spirit of heaviness. We can be free from that. Let me share another story with you. This is a story of Tommy the Grayling. Now, this is somebody else's story, but I was around when it happened. It wasn't my story, but they shared it with me. So in the Yukon, up north, there's fish, and there's all kinds of different fish. One is called a grayling. It's usually a bit of a smaller fish. You get 12 to 16 inches. That's a big grayling. So again, we're out there fishing. You can just imagine on a beautiful lake, you know, just calm, like glass. and you're fly fishing, because Jesus fly fished, right? And it's the only way to fish. And anyway, I was just joking with you. And so he lays down his hook, and all of a sudden, you get a little grayling on. You're like, oh, nice little grayling. Let's bring that in. We'll fry that up for dinner. And all of a sudden, you know, it takes off. Something else is on your hook now. And you're running with this, your fly rod. And what happened was it's splashing around way out there, and all of a sudden, it came free, though. So my buddy was like, okay, I got this fish off. The big fish is out there somewhere. And so he reels it in really quick. Get this fish off. Get the fish off so he can catch the right fish. And as he's doing that, he can see the pike just chasing it, you know, wanting to get that fish. And he's just reeling it as fast as he can. And so he lifts the grayling out of the water so it can go behind the boat. So you can see this little grayling. Half the grayling is gone. That's why it got free, because the pike had bit the grayling in half. So little Tommy Grayling is going over the boat. As he's passing by in slow motion, you can imagine Tommy Grayling going, thank you, you know, that he's not getting eaten by the pike. Woohoo! This pike is so relentless that it jumps out of the water, hits his buddy, knocks him over. There's a giant pike in the boat that hasn't been tired out by, you know, when you catch a fish, it takes you hours to get it in, right? Giant fish in the boat flopping around. And Tommy Grayling's on the other side of the boat. They're thinking, great, we just caught a big fish. This is awesome, right? So my buddy goes to sit down and reel the fish, get the line in on his rod so he can get poor Tommy Grayling off. He looks over. And have you ever heard the sound of like an eagle? Up north, there's Osprey, this big hawk, and you can hear it. It just comes in out of nowhere, right? So he looks over, and this Osprey takes off with Tommy Grayling. You know, his line goes snap. And so poor Tommy Grayling, think about this little grayling just having a good day, right? Takes a little bite of food. This pike bites him in half. This Osprey takes him for a ride. It's a bad day for Tommy Grayling. It's the same way with how the devil treats us. Man, he just beats us and beats us and beats us. And when we think we're free, all of a sudden something else comes at us, and he wants to put this spirit of heaviness upon you. Those are fun stories, but they're realistic for you and I. Like, seriously, the devil is trying to get you. He's trying to mess you up. He's trying to take you out, and we need to be free from that. We've got to recognize that. We don't need to live this way under despair and depression. We need to be set free in Jesus' name. So let me show you some more scriptures of how to be free. So we're going to jump into Romans here. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 34 to 34. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for you, who can be against you? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? If it is God who justifies, who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died more than that, who was raised to life and is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us. I want to look at this and just verse by verse, we'll pull it apart here just for a second. So verse 31, let's go back to that. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, then who can be against us? We know the devil's against us. We know he wants to take us out. But listen to what it says in Scripture. Yes, the devil is against us. Yes, the devil hates you because you're made in God's image. And when the devil looks at you, he's reminded of God. And he hates God. And he wants to take us out. And he's just doing every scheme that he can to knock you out. So in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it says this. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. So the first thing that we see here is the devil is working overtime day and night, really to give us the spirit of heaviness, really to use all the schemes that he can to mess us up. He is relentless. And who can be against us, as we read? Well, the devil's against us, and he's accusing us. But did you see what it said at the very end? Has been hurled down. He's already been hurled down. God's already taken care of it. He already knows who's going to win. But we still have to live this life while he's around with us. And how do we handle him? I think it's a brilliant thought to be thinking about that. He's already lost. Think about this. If you enter a race, and you know you're going to lose, I would be like, well, I'm going to lose anyway. I'm going to take out as many people as I can along the race. because I don't know who's going to win, but I'm going to just knock out as many people as I can, even though I know I'm not going to win. I'm going to make sure everybody else doesn't win either. It's the same scheme the devil uses on us. But think about in God's eyes. We win the race. We know we're going to win the race. And so when you enter the race, there's just a little bit of like, oh yeah, we're going to win this thing. You would see other people around you. You want to help them win as well, because you've got a winning spirit, not a grieving or a despairing spirit, a spirit of victory. Oh, that's just a brilliant thought. Let's keep going here. Keep unpacking verse 32. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who will bring any charge against us? If somebody brings a charge against us, if the devil brings a charge against us, here's what it says in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Oh, we try our best to not sin, but we do on occasion do this. But if anybody does sin, and we're going to sin, we know that, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Jesus is set free. Jesus has cleansed us. We have the Spirit. We're a child of God. And he is our defense. Jesus is our defense. When we sense a spirit of heaviness, negativity, frustration, we remember that Jesus speaks up on behalf of us. Who will bring a charge against us? Oh, God will set us free from those charges. The devil is going to accuse us even before God. Say, God, look at what all of your people are doing. They're all full of sin. And Jesus will say, I see that, but I am their way out. I am their righteousness. I will set them free. Isn't that just wonderful to think about? In verse 34 of Romans chapter 8, who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding on our behalf. Think about that again, just as you read that. Jesus was condemned for our sins. We understand that. Those sins crucified on the cross, spirit of heaviness, in a sense, was taken to the grave. Now, the grave couldn't hold Jesus, so he was set free from the grave, and he went to be with his Father in heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father. And he doesn't just sit there and sit back on, you know, whatever. He's sitting there interceding on our behalf. Isn't that just wonderful to think about? So God set us free from all of our sins, and he constantly, day and night, intercedes on behalf of us. That's the God we're serving. That's Jesus Christ on his best day. It's like the icing on the cake, isn't that? He saved you so you can go to heaven, but he's also praying for you all the time. He's interceding for you all the time. And if you ever are having a spirit of heaviness, and you feel like, nobody cares. Nobody's listening. Who's praying for me? Who even cares what's happening? You can turn to God, and Jesus is interceding. He cares. He's praying for you. Let me share this story with you as well. There's this brilliant book I've got from our district office, our national office, sorry, A Place at the Table. It's written by our district or our national officer, David Wells' wife, Susan Wells. And so she shares some personal stories about when she grew up. And she remembers the story of when some friends came over to visit. So a young couple, they were going to have a baby. And all of a sudden, they had the baby at their house. You know, it was unexpected. It wasn't, you know, planned out. So she gets to be a part of and sees what happens with delivering a baby. And all of a sudden, the couple here, like, the couple isn't saved at that point. This young couple they're fighting all the time. This young couple is arguing and drinking. And so she thinks, if they go back home, this baby is going to grow up into that experience, right? That's really a spirit of heaviness. I know a lot of us have grown up that way, where you grow up in an environment where it's not good. There's some heaviness in the room. And she's thinking, like, I've got this baby, but it's only a few days. So she goes in the back room, goes into a closet where nobody can find her, and she just lays her hands on this baby. And she says, oh, in Jesus' name, I want to intercede on behalf of this child. I know where it's going to go. It's going to be heavy. I don't know what the future looks like, but I just claim this child in Jesus' name. It's the same thing that Jesus does for us. We're born into this world. There's a spirit of brokenness. There's a spirit of heaviness in this world. But God looks at each one of us and he puts his hands on us. He says, I know you by name. I put my hand on you. I want to intercede on your behalf. Isn't that just a great thought? So again, the devil is called many things. He does many schemes. He's also called the adversary. And an adversary is a person or a group that is hostile towards someone else. The devil's hostile towards us. He's not asking for permission or forgiveness. In 1 Peter, it says this, and we've heard this many times before. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And as I shared some stories and some scriptures with you, he's relentless with that, isn't he? Day and night, he just wants to take us out. And we don't believe the adversary and think anything negative. When he pitches something at you, when he pitches a scheme at you or the spirit of heaviness, we don't have to accept it. We've got to be free from it. So we would be free from it with scriptures like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every scheme and we double check, is the Lord speaking to me, or is this, you know, not the Spirit of the Lord? We are able to do that because we've got God living inside of us. And then in Revelation chapter 12, I love this thought that the devil is referred to as a roaring lion. Well, you know, actually, when you read scripture, you'll find that Jesus, God, is sometimes referred to as a lion, not roaring, trying to take people out and devour them, actually a good lion. And we'll see this in Revelation chapter 5. Verse 5, then one of the elders said to me, don't weep. See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. So the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, we would find out what that means in Matthew chapter 1. And I love reading lineages or genealogies or, you know, bloodlines that we see in Matthew chapter 1. It shows that Joseph, who is actually not the biological father, right? I mean, the Holy Spirit made Mary pregnant, but he is the father. He raises Jesus, and his lineage goes right back to David, right back to Abraham. And we can see this in Matthew chapter 1, verse 17. It says, thus there was 14 generations in all before Abraham to David, and 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 generations is talking about from the exile to Christ. So we see that the lineage of David to Joseph is the Lion of Judah, and that's how he gets the name, the Lion or the Lamb of Judah. And just a couple more thoughts here. So when I hear that, okay, the Lion of Judah, and we see that God is referred to as that, and we refer to sometimes as the Lion, and obviously probably the Lamb more often, right? And so when I think about that, I read this sermon that was preached one time, or I heard it, and it was put this way, that the Lion or the lamb, I apologize. The lamb is for Christ's sacrifice. It talks about that the Lamb of God was this. We'll read it here in John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, he sees Jesus and he says this to him, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So Jesus was a lamb led to the slaughter for the sins of all the world so that you and I can be free. We know that. And so when Jesus goes down to the grave, goes to hell, I believe, is that I don't think he's a nice, petting, soft little lamb down there. I think he's the Lion of Judah at that point, right? Because the grave couldn't hold him. So the lion stands for the resurrection part of Jesus comes back in authority and he comes back with power. I can't see a little lamb being all power and a little lamb, you know, kind of nipping at your heels. But a lion, you'll see a lion come back. That's kind of cool, right? So we see the difference there, the contrast. Knowing what Jesus did for us, really, we don't need to fear. We don't need to, again, have the spirit of heaviness. We need to be free of that. And I know we're a bit isolated and we can't be together, but we can be together with Jesus. We can be together with our God. They can never, no one can ever take that from us. So let's go back to Ephesians and look at some other things that we do as Christians, as Christianity, as we think about how do we overcome a spirit of heaviness. I shared some scriptures there with you. But let's just go back to the first one that I shared with you in Ephesians chapter 6. We'll jump in verse 13. It says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, remember the day, the devil's looking day and night. He wants to bring evil upon us. You'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. We find truth in the Word of God. And around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up your shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Again, the devil's just throwing things at you constantly, and we got to use our faith as a shield to protect us. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We see so clearly, though, the positive things that we can do as we feel the spirit of heaviness. We have a defense to that, right? A garment of praise that'll just cover over us and protect us. All these kind of wonderful things that we can do for ourselves. So let me pray with you, and then we'll go our separate ways. Father, we thank you as we've heard from your word today. Lord, I pray that as a church that we would just be free in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for every person that's listening that has a spirit of heaviness that the enemy's pitched at them and maybe hooked into them. I pray that you would break those chains in Jesus' name as we sing songs like that, that we'd be set free so that when we put on the armor, we're not putting on, covering over our spirit of heaviness, that we're actually being released from the spirit of heaviness in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that your word cuts the bone marrow. It separates spirit. It separates the good spirit from the bad spirit. Would you remove all of those bad spirits from us in Jesus' name? Help us to be free this year. Help us to have our eyes upon you this year. Help us to see clearly in Jesus' name. Amen.